Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from Chapter 3. So at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, there's a section called Contents, and each chapter has got a short description. So I'll read the description for Chapter 3 from the Contents. Karma Yoga. It's before the introduction. It's after the dedication to Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan, who presented so nicely the Govinda Bhash commentary on Vedanta philosophy. So Contents, Chapter 3. Karma Yoga. Depends which book you have. Everyone must engage in some sort of activity in this material world, but actions can either bind one to this world or liberate one from it. By acting for the pleasure of the Supreme without selfish motives, one can be liberated from the law of karma, action and reaction, and attain transcendental knowledge of the Self and the Supreme. So today we'll read from chapter 3, text number 29. This is in the section about nishkam karma. The section is from verse 17 to verse 35. So these verses are talking about nishkam karma. Karma means work or activity, and nishkam means that the person who's doing it has got no desire for self-interest. Kam means lust or desire, and nishkam means no desire, no selfish motives. So by working in this way without selfish motives, the person becomes peaceful. Text 29. Prakrute guna samuta. Prakrute guna samuta. Ya jante guna karmasu. Sa jante guna karmasu. Tan akritsna vido mandan. Tan akritsna vido mandan. Kritsna vinna vichalayet. Krishna vinna vichalayet. Krishna vinna vichalayet. Prakrite guna samutha. Yajante guna karmasu. Tan akritsna vido mandan. Krishna vinna vichalayet. Prakrite guna samutha. Sa jante guna karmasu. Tan akritsna vido mandan. Kritsna vinna vichalayet. Prakrite guna samutha. Ya jante guna karmasu. Tan akritsna vido mandan. Krishna vinna vichalayet. Prakrite guna samudha. Sajante guna karmasu. Tan akritsna vido mandan. Krishna vinna vichalayet. Prakriti of material nature. Guna by the modes. Samuta befooled by material identification. Sajante, they become engaged. Guna karmasu, in material activities. Tan, those. Akritsnavida, persons with a poor fund of knowledge. Mandan, lazy to understand self-realization. Kritsnavit, one who is in factual knowledge. Na, not. Vichalayet, should try to agitate. Translation, bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached, but the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Please repeat. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Purport. Persons who are unknowledgeable falsely identify with gross material consciousness and are full of material designations. This body is a gift of the material nature. And one who is too much attached to bodily consciousness is called manda, or a lazy person without understanding of spirit soul. Ignorant men think of the body as the self. They accept bodily connections with others as kinsmanship. The land in which the body is obtained is their object of worship, and they consider the formalities of religious rituals to be ends in themselves. Social work, nationalism, and altruism are some of the activities for such materially designated persons. Under the spell of designations, they are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such materially engrossed persons. Better to prosecute one's own spiritual activities silently. Such bewildered persons may be engaged in such primary moral principles of life as non-violence and similar materially benevolent work. Men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. So if I was to stop here, you would get the idea that we don't have to preach. If I was to stop here, you would get the idea that Prabhupada is telling us not to preach. He's saying, Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But Srila Prabhupada's adding to Krishna's mood. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men and try to engage them in acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Om Jnanati Mandasya Jnananjala Shalakya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Tatanya Manobistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeyam Sri Guru Sri Yudhapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaisnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sakrijatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vidamtam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Ratha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vidam Cha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Ratha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Vrate Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitana pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadata Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached, but the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. So in this chapter, there's different kinds of action are described. Karma is quite a common word these days. What we refer to as karma is actually the result. Karma means work or activities. And if we say, oh, he has bad karma, it's not that what we're seeing is the result of his bad work. If you do something good, you get a reward. If you do something bad, you get some punishment. And so examples of good karma could be money, someone who's rich, someone who's famous, someone who's beautiful. These are examples of good karma. It means in their previous life, they did good activities, enough to get this good karma. And if they continue to do good activities, example, giving charity, then in their next life, again, they will be rich. And those who do bad activities, they get bad karma, which are things like that they're not beautiful, not rich, not famous, and like that. Not very intelligent, don't get a good education. That's their bad karma. Any painful situation, any horrible experience, that's all their bad karma. But if we work for Krishna, we don't get any reaction, not good and not bad. So someone could say, well, if I do good work, I would prefer to get a reward for it. So then why should I work for Krishna? By doing good activities, I can go to the heavenly planets. So then why I'll work for Krishna if he's not going to give me any reward? Everything you do, any good material activity, it's like air miles towards the heavenly planets. Get your air miles. But Krishna does give a reward, and it's not material. He can, if he wants, give material things, but the reward that you get from Krishna is that you can get out of the cycle of birth and death and go back to Krishna Loka. But because people don't know what's going to happen, what's there after death, quite a lot of people have heard of heaven or heavenly planets. But if you say spiritual world, people don't know what's there. Some people think that there is nothing in the spiritual world. It's just a big empty place. And they're not so interested to go there. But if we read the books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, then we find out that in the spiritual world, there's all kinds of variegatedness, all kinds of activities, all kinds of things to do. It's not empty and impersonal. There's one word that... there's one word in this verse. So if you look in the Sanskrit, the end of the third line, it's manda, lazy. And that reminded me of a description in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. There's one verse that you have to learn for the Bhakti Vaibhav, and it describes the qualities of the people in the age of Kali. So now we're in the age of Kali, and it's described like this. 1.1.10. Prayenalpayusa sabya kalavasmin yuge jana mandasumanda matayo mandabhagya yupadruta. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So this is describing our unfortunate position in the age of Kali. Five qualities are named. Quarrelsome. Is there anyone here who never has any quarrels? Not very many people. Lazy. Anyone admit to being lazy? Misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So in this verse that we're reading now, Prabhupada's describing that the lazy means lazy in spiritual life. They're too lazy. They're very busy in material activities, but if you say, I have these books, if you go on the street and say, I have these books, oh, I have no time. They have no time to read. And even if someone does buy one of Prabhupada's books, maybe it's just sitting on the shelf for a long time. One of my friends was describing that his father got a book on the street and he put it on the shelf, and years later the children found it and they became devotees. People are lazy to understand spiritual life. They have not interested, no time, but for material activities they're very interested and they have lots of time. So this is what's being referred to as manda. So Krishna's saying, don't disturb these people. But then Prabhupada's saying that the devotees are more kind than the Lord, because they don't mean to disturb them, but they're just approaching even ignorant men. In the beginning of the Sankirtan movement, Nityananda Prabhu, and who was he preaching with? Haridas Thakur? They were approaching people on the street, and even Jagai and Madai, they asked, please chant Hare Krishna. And maybe I wouldn't approach someone who is quite that far gone. They were very drunk and very disruptive and very rude and violent. But even they approached them, and please chant Hare Krishna. So this section of the Bhagavad Gita from 3:17 to 35, it's about nishkam karma. Karma is work, and nishkam is someone who has no desire for self-interest. They just work out of duty or for Krishna. And because they don't, they're not attached to the results, whether the result is good or bad or in between, they're not disturbed. They're peaceful. This is what Krishna has given. It's described actually only people who are working in this way can be peaceful. And the other reason why they do their duty is to set a good example. Last week, there was the verse, the very famous verse, so let's have it again, it's so nice. 3:21. I missed that one. Yad yad acharati shrestas tattada vetaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate. 3:21. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So Krishna is also trying to get us to do our duty, to set a good example. And even Krishna himself set a good example. So Krishna's good example is described in Krishna book. And it's recorded in the chapter where Narada Muni goes to have a look to see what Krishna's doing. So So what's happened is there was a demon who captured lots of princesses and he held them captive. Was it Bulbasaur? Narakasura, who's sometimes called Baumasura. So Krishna killed this demon and he released all the princesses, and they're thinking, no one is going to marry us after we've been in the house of another man. And they're thinking, he's our hero, he has just released us. So they all had the desire to marry Krishna. All 16,100 princesses thought, oh, my hero, oh, he's so beautiful. I mean, who wouldn't fall at his feet? These princesses, all marriageable age and very beautiful. And so Krishna married them all. And Narada Muni was a little curious. I wonder what he's doing in all those palaces in Dwarka. So Narada Muni went to have a look. And this is what he saw. The sage Narad visits the homes of Lord Krishna. Chapter 29. In this greatly beautiful city of Dwarka, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had many residential quarters. The great kings and princes of the world used to visit these palaces just to worship him. The architectural plans were personally made by... Yes, Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods, the engineer of the demigods. And in the construction of the palaces, he exhibited all of his talents and ingenuity. These residential quarters numbered more than 16,000. And a different queen of Lord Krishna resided in each of them. The great sage Narad entered one of these houses and saw that the pillars were made of coral and the ceilings were bedecked with jewels. The walls, as well as the arches between the pillars, glowed from the decorations of different kinds of sapphires. Throughout the palace were many canopies made by Vishwakarma that were decorated with strings of pearls. Pearls have a cooling effect. The chairs and other furniture were made of ivory and bedecked with gold and diamonds. Like today we had a class of children. Did you see them? All these 75 children came today and we gave them a guided tour, and they're allowed to ask questions, and they know they can ask anything they want. And one time one of the children pointed to the chandelier and said, "Miss, are they real diamonds?" But in Krishna's palaces, they were real diamonds that he was using. The chairs and other furniture were made of ivory and bedecked with gold and diamonds. And jeweled lamps dissipated the darkness within the palace. There was so much incense and fragrant gum burning that the scented fumes were coming out of the windows. The peacocks sitting on the steps became illusioned by the fumes, mistaking them for clouds, and they began dancing jubilantly. There were many maidservants, all of whom were decorated with gold necklaces, bangles, and beautiful saris. There were so many men servants, nicely dressed in cloaks and turbans and jeweled earrings. Beautiful as they were, the servants were engaged in different household duties. Narada saw that Lord Krishna was sitting with Rukmini Devi, the mistress of that particular palace, who was holding the handle of a chamara whisk. Even though there were many thousands of maidservants, equally beautiful and qualified, and of the same age, Rukmini Devi personally engaged in fanning Lord Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipped even by Narada. Yet as soon as Krishna saw Narada enter the palace, he got down immediately from Rukmini's bedstead and stood up to honor him. Lord Krishna is the teacher of the whole world, and in order to instruct everyone how to respect a saintly person like Narada Muni, he bowed down, touching his helmet to the ground. Not only did Krishna bow down, but he also touched the feet of Narada and, with folded hands, requested him to sit on his chair. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality, worshipped by all devotees. He is the most worshipable spiritual master of everyone. The Ganges water, which emanates from his feet, sanctifies the three worlds. So it goes on for four pages after pages, describing how Krishna is behaving and what Narada saw in all the different houses. So Krishna came to the earth 5,000 years ago for three reasons, which is described in Bhagavad Gita 4.8. He's saying why he came. No, Krishna. Why did Krishna come? Three reasons why he came. 4.8. We'll do that in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah, re-establish, yeah. 4.8. Pritranaya sadunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So by this Dwaraka pastime, he's doing these things, re-establishing principles of religion. He's delivering the pious and annihilating the miscreants. He's living in all his opulence, and then occasionally he goes off and kills some demon. So that's what I prepared. So does anyone want to add something? Yes? Yes, he said that this is the official reason why he came, but to annihilate the miscreants, he doesn't have to personally come. He's got lots of agents, and if he wants, he can just kill him just by thinking about it. He doesn't have to personally come. So why he really comes is to please his devotees.
You said three motives, and you have two.
Which ones?
We have
pious, yeah? And? Miscreants, that's two. Yeah, that's three. Yeah. Yeah. So he comes to attract the souls to go back home. Yes, Dwarka. Yes. Nishkam means yes, so why would someone do something and they're not getting anything in return? Why would somebody do that? Work without getting return, without expectation of return, for two reasons. It means they have no desire for self-interest, which makes them peaceful. But you can also do your duty as an example, to set an example, to be the good example for other people. Whatever actions a great man performs. So I was given an example of Krishna being the good example. We can't quite do what he did, but... No, but we can still be a good example. Yes?
I would like to speak about and ask a question about the devotees. I that we should not disturb the men who are in the
world. Yes?
You have to disturb actually
So the point is, Krishna is saying we should not disturb the people by preaching, and there are some people who are preaching, we should disturb them. The thing is, just by telling the truth, some people get disturbed. You just have to tell the truth and they get disturbed. So what can you do? You can't tell not the truth just to not disturb them. So we should try and do it in a nice way, and if they get disturbed, what can we do? We're doing it for their own benefit. What's more cruel to... there's a saying in English, let sleeping dogs lie. When someone's asleep, you let him sleep. You don't wake him up, it's mean. But if the house is on fire, it's mean to not wake him up. So so someone is sleeping, so you should not wake him up. This is not nice. But if his house is on fire, and you say, I cannot wake him, it's not nice. So we are in the material world, which is samsara dhavanala. It's like a burning forest fire. So if we say, oh, I cannot disturb him, let him be in peace, am I really doing him a favor? Okay, so get born and die another 1,000 times, no problem. I will not disturb you. Is it not very nice? We should wake them up for their own good, not because we like disturbing people. Yes? We're not doing it to disturb them, we're doing it to save them from a lot of pain and suffering and for their own benefit. So with this mentality, with this, intention, I'm giving it for his benefit. I want to give him a book for his benefit, I want him to hear the holy name for his benefit, not I like to disturb him. Anything else? Okay, so I'll finish now. We'll have some kirtan. The kirtan devotees are sitting in the next room. Oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.